The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
That's JTRRoofingInc.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot, is WWTC Minneapolis, St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRostra. It kind of looks like Memorial Day weekend.
Can't lay out on the beach. You have to be engaged in walking, running, swimming, surfing, anything where you're moving.
Californians are being allowed back on the sand with caveats. Similar restrictions on beaches in other states as the world as we know it is reopening with changes. The big question is, while liquor stores, tattoo parlors, and bowling alleys have welcomed mats out, will churches defy gubernatorial restrictions and open their doors? From the White House yesterday, President Trump said houses of worship hold our society together and millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life and threaten to override any governor who disagrees. Authorities began clearing roads and assessing damage yesterday after Cyclone Amphan barreled through coastal communities in eastern India and neighboring Bangladesh, killing more than 100 people. This is SRN News.
This weekend, the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, brought to you in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. A declassified memo sheds light on President Obama's last days in office.
This was an effort to undermine and to destroy an incoming administration.
Join us for our program and sign up for our podcast at townhallreview.com.
Every Saturday evening at 7 and Sunday nights at 11, here on AM 1280, The Patriot.
AM 1280, The Patriot. We'll have the Northern Alliance Radio Network Hour 2 with Mitch Berg, our headliner, coming up here in just a little bit. Our May Book of the Month is History's Nine Most Insane Rulers by Scott Rank. You can win a signed copy of the book at AM1280ThePatriot.com. Click on our Freedom Fan Club. From the Great Plains Windows and Doors Weather Center, we're going to have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 7 p.m. and isolated showers between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network, the longest-running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities.
It's great to be back in Minnesota today.
Political analysis of the good, the bad, and the outright crazy. Now, here's your headline act, Mitch Berg.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and World. It's the Wind Beneath the Right Wing, the show that is making talk radio great again. The Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. By the way, my name is Mitch Berg. My blog, shotinthedark.info. And I just want to point this out. Of course, we have had an active social media presence on this broadcast since day one. I mean, this show was founded from social media. We sprang fully formed from the social media of 2004, back when social media pretty much was blogging, before we had Twitter and Facebook, and really what was probably a much better time for social media than it is today. So we've had our toe in social media since social media created us, really. I mean, in a lot of ways, AM 1280 here in the Twin Cities led most of commercial talk radio to social media via the Northern Alliance and its various incarnations over the years. And we welcome your participation via social media. We are on Facebook, of course, at Northern Alliance Radio Network. I should be posting more out there than I do. That's one of my goals for this next couple of weeks, is to be more active on the Facebook page. And, of course, our Twitter feed is always open, hashtag NARN Show. That's N-A-R-N Show, where if you are worth listening to, and that's the vast majority of you, I mean, there are a few people over the years that I've muted from the NARN Show and from my personal Twitter feeds, because frankly, nothing they say is of any value. And you know who I'm talking about, because two of you I do know absolutely, on absolutely perfect authority, listen to this broadcast fairly obsessively. And all I can say is, if you were worth listening to, I'd be listening to you. But you're not, and I don't. Anyway, the rest of you, however, feel free to join the conversation either via the newfangled social media at Narn Show, that's hashtag N-A-R-N Show on Twitter, or you can join us via the good old-fashioned telephone, the way God created talk radio back in the Garden of Eden, at 651-289-4488. And no. Talk radio actually evolved. If you prefer, talk radio evolved into a telephone based organism as well, billions of years ago. Either way, it stands up via either theory or any theory you want to choose. So anyway, speaking of which, the question as to how the Earth formed is one that will keep people occupied till pretty much the Earth falls apart. And it'll be a fascinating one at that. But the question of how science in a less profound sense is actually manifested in public life is very much with us today. And as we talked about in the first hour, science as filtered through the Lysenkoistic political demands of the DFL ruling class in this state is science in much the same way that my attempts to shoot a basketball is the NBA. It's something of convenience, something that can be repackaged into something convenient for the moment, but it's not the real thing. We've seen a couple of truisms exhibited in recent weeks. One of them is something that Kevin Williamson put out there. He's one of my favorite writers, and it's one of my favorite quotes by him. And I quote, "Politics is the least effective possible way to get things done." I'm paraphrasing his quote tightly. I believe the direct quote is, "Politics is the least effective possible way to allocate scarce resources." But really, if you're trying to get things done using the political process, not just voting, but the whole process of how authority devolves down through bureaucracies is the very least effective possible way to get things done. And we've seen this through some frankly absurd dictates lately. For example, in California, it became known in recent weeks that as they partially reopened, it was made clear that you could surf to your heart's content. Go ahead and take your surfboard out in the surf and romp and play in the water to your heart's content. But don't you dare swim. Swimming is illegal, but surfing is not. And you might ask yourself, and it's a fair question, is it because California government is that stupid? Or is it because politicians are neither, and the politicians who make these sorts of dictates, are neither scientists nor people who live in the world populated by the rest of us. And it's not really an either-or decision. They can both be true. By the way, we saw an example of this. And we have to say this. By the way, I got into a discussion with a detractor of mine on my blog this past week, the original Social Medium, who said, "Yeah, look at the results of California. Why don't you red state mouth breathers look at how life has been in California?" And by the way, we have to give some credit where it's due. The tyrannical dictates of Gavin Newsom and San Francisco Mayor London Breed have had some effective results. The results in New York and California could scarcely be less alike. California's death rate per million is well below that of New York State. New York State's had almost 15, just barely shy of 1,500 deaths per million so far in this crisis, with 1,500 new cases a day. And we're down out of the thousands of deaths per day in New York, so that's good, and thank goodness for that. California is down well below the national average. In fact, down below Minnesota, 93 deaths per million. You do the math. That's 1/15 of New York's rate. Now, part of that is because California is a much lower density state. And California's metro areas, San Francisco's inner city notwithstanding, are much lower density, that's in terms of population density, than New York City, which is one of the densest cities in the world. Again, talking population density, not politics. But, you know. Anyway, how politics works, you can see this writ large. Again, I've used that phrase twice in one broadcast, so I'm done for the rest of the year with that broadcast. But you can see how politics destroys when left unmodified by any foot based in the real world by what happened between San Francisco and New York. This is a piece that came out in ProPublica this past week, which, by the way, is never to be mistaken for a conservative news source. In fact, it exists. It's basically the Min Post or the Minnesota Reformer with a certain amount of sheen of legitimacy to it. San Francisco Mayor London Breed, it turns out, had sent Mayor Ratso de Blasio a copy of her detailed shelter-in-place order as, by the way, a means of giving advice to a fellow far-left mayor on how to handle the crisis that by this point had already struck San Francisco. In fact, arguably may have already caused a full pandemic without people knowing about it in California. There, as we discussed 3 weeks ago, there's a case to be made that the CES flu that tore through Silicon Valley in January and February may well have come from the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, in Las Vegas. Maybe. We don't know. But expanded antibody testing might give us this answer. But, well before COVID was a household name, much less the law of the land in this country. However, New York Governor Cuomo reacted to de Blasio's idea for closing down New York City with derision. It was dangerous, he said, and served only to scare people. Language mattered, Cuomo said, and shelter-in-place sounded like it was a response to a nuclear apocalypse. Moreover, Fredo said, he alone had the power to order such a measure. For years, this is, by the way, ProPublica talking here. For years, Cuomo and de Blasio, each of whom has harbored national political ambitions, had engaged in a kind of intrastate Cold War, a rivalry that to many often felt childish and counterproductive. Childish and counterproductive is always fun until someone gets hurt, like, I don't know, tens of thousands of deaths. When de Blasio finally decided to close the city's schools, it was Cuomo who rushed to make the public announcement, claiming it his decision. Quote, no city in the state can quarantine itself without state approval, Cuomo said of de Blasio's call for a shelter-in-place order. Quote, I have no plan whatsoever to quarantine any city. My, how the worm has turned, has it not? Again, giving some credit where it's due, California's response, as politicized as it was, and as much as Gavin Newsom has explicitly said he sees it as a platform for imposing his progressive vision on the state and, by extension, the rest of the nation, they at least kept the death rate down to not only, well, 1/15 of California's rate, and are you ready for this here, folks? About half of Minnesota's rate at this point. Minnesota, 153 deaths per million. California, 93. So about 2/3 our death rate per million. California, and by the way, this isn't entirely a testimony to the wisdom of Governor Newsom or Mayor Breed. It's a testimony to the fact that the vast majority of California, especially Los Angeles, is exceptionally low density. Los Angeles's density isn't a whole lot different than, I don't know, the Western Metro. I believe, if memory serves, it's lower than Minneapolis. Maybe down somewhere around Fargo in terms of population per square mile. I'll look it up at some point here. At any rate, low density seems, again, I'm speaking anecdotally here, but you can see it in the results nationwide, low density seems to be correlated with low deaths. And it can be in terms of a low density state like the Dakotas. It can be in terms of lower high density industries, like, say, comparing construction with meatpacking or construction with or meatpacking, I should say, with software development, where all of us have been working at home for 2 or 3 months now. Low density seems to offer some insulation against rampant infections, especially the astronomical rise in infections that went along with that we've been told to watch out for, the curve that overwhelms the healthcare system, which we've successfully done, even in Minnesota, outside the nursing homes. But how does this relate to churches and places of worship? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. 651-289-4488. We'll be going to the phones right after we get back from break, by the way. It's 651-289-4488. You can join us via Twitter if, in fact, you have proved yourself to be, well, if you have not proved yourself to be unworthy of paying attention to, join us at hashtag Narn Show. It's the Northern Alliance, AM 1280, The Patriot.
Limitless access to intelligent talk. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities, but serve worldwide.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Let's welcome Jeremy Camp.
Hope comes home with I Still Believe. You can download it now at WatchSalemMedia.com. From the creators of I Can Only Imagine comes the uplifting true life story of Christian music megastar Jeremy Camp.
I'm supposed to be with her. I can't explain it. I just know that.
Jeremy's hope and faith are put to the test when tragedy strikes.
You're going to be healed.
What if I'm not supposed to be healed?
Don't say that.
I Still Believe is an incredible story of musical stardom, the heights of love, the depths of loss, and the healing power of the human spirit. One love can change your life.
You chose willingly to walk into the fire with her. That's what love is.
Witness the true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that looks to prove there is always hope. Starring KJ Apa, Britt Robertson, Gary Sinise, and Shania Twain. Own I Still Believe on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital now from Lionsgate. At WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
This moment of gratitude is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage and the Rock family of companies.
Thank you to my brother Eric, who's a firefighter and a paramedic.
To those who leave their homes to keep us safe in ours, thank you.
Whether you're a cashier or a police officer, to anyone and everyone, thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to thank America's frontline and essential workers, visit EveryoneKnowsAHero.com. Quicken Loans, LLC, NMLS number 3030. Licensed in 50 states. Each legal entity that identifies themselves as part of the Rock family of companies are separate legal entities with their own governance and management structure.
If it was 1990, you'd be listening to your favorite radio station on a bulky boombox that burns through D batteries faster than you can say, "You've got mail." Thankfully, it's the 21st century, and there are much better alternatives. For example, just ask Alexa to tune in.
Alexa, play the Patriot Minneapolis.
It's time to throw out that old beeper and get with the times. Listen to your favorite AM 1280 The Patriot hosts in high quality with Alexa and Amazon Echo.
Salem Surround partners with your business to deliver custom digital marketing solutions. Surround your target audience wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review to keep your business top of mind. Learn more at minneapolis.salemsurround.com.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and World. It's the Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Hey, don't forget, there's a lot of misinformation being spread online, some of it via government models. Anyway, we're doing everything we can to keep you informed, thus we are on the air. For now. Anyway, here at AM1280ThePatriot.com, you'll see the latest stats for COVID-19 in Minnesota, updates on testing and potential treatments being created and reviewed, and much more. Resources for employers, from the Minnesota Department of Revenue, caring for you and your family's mental well-being, as well as the latest from the CDC. Find these articles and many more. Plus, here are the governor's daily press conferences at AM1280ThePatriot.com. Just click COVID-19 updates and resources. 651-289-4488, the number to call. By the way, you have standing orders. My producers have standing orders, I should say, to let people who disagree with me on the air first and foremost. I may not get that with our next guest on the phone here, but what the heck. Let's go to the phones. From the far north burbs, NASCAR Kelly joins us. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mitch. How are you?
The worst day on the air is better than the best day off it.
I would completely agree with you on that. And you're doing a fine job talking about the topics of the day. I called in and I was excited to hear you were going to talk about the Archbishop of the Catholics in Minnesota, Bernard Hebda, and his letter, along with then what was followed up with a letter with the leader of the Lutherans in the Missouri Synod, which I'm not as familiar with, but I am a Catholic. I'm a lifelong Catholic. And I was planning on calling you anyway. And as I came in from outdoors after mowing my lawn, just as it was beginning to pour here in Anoka County, I got an alert on my phone that Governor Walz was having his 2 o'clock press conference,
which, goody.
I don't think Bring news. Runs on
usually runs those during the week. So this brings new meaning to the weekend news dump. But so what's the governor saying today?
So, he's still talking, but I got the gist of it here, and I made a couple notes for you. So first of all, let me just say, too, lifelong Catholic, I have 2 eighth-grade children that were supposed to be graduating at church on Tuesday night from their Catholic elementary school, and that has now gone virtual, along with every other tradition that this school does for their eighth graders in the last month of school. All of it went away. And I can't tell you, first of all, I've had this discussion with a few people. As a parent that sacrificed for 9 years to send 2 children to Catholic school, I was heartbroken because I was looking forward to this since they entered kindergarten. And it's a hard thing for me to get over, but I really, really love my kids' school, which is, I'll just point it out, is St. Odilia in Shoreview. It's a fantastic school. But everything went away. And last Wednesday, as we had our appointment for my kids to have their graduation pictures done at church, the governor was announcing the bars and restaurants opening. And what was left out of that was the churches. And your caller in the first hour who said that he had heard that the archdiocese was being shut out from the governor. I had been hearing the same thing, and Archbishop Hebda and the other bishops in Minnesota stated that in their letter, that they had twice sent a letter with their plan of how to resume worship services in the Catholic churches, and there was crickets from the administration, not only the governor's office, but the Minnesota Department of Health and the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And I think once that press conference happened on Wednesday and it was over, this letter was released. So you could tell they were waiting to see. They gave them one last chance, and there was nothing about churches or places of worship. So the Catholic bishops announced that they would allow parishes at their own discretion to start holding services, masses, prayer services, etc., at 33% of the building's capacity. And that varies, of course, from church to church. What was just announced now, after 2 days of the Archbishop and the leader of the Lutherans in Missouri Synod meeting with the governor's office, was that the governor is and the Minnesota Department of Health is allowing 25% of building capacity. So there was some give and take there. But what was just announced by the by Commissioner Jan Malcolm of the Minnesota Department of Health was that there's also a max capacity of 250 people. So
wow.
my church, I believe, has a capacity of over 900.
Right.
But so 25%, we're getting close to that 250, but that could be expanded. Any church that has, say, 1,200, well, their max is 250, and it's whatever is lower. It's not whatever's higher, whatever is lower.
Yeah, and it's completely absurd when you consider that there, I mean, the original 10 maximum, no matter what the size, is just so absurd. I mean, there are small, little tiny Norwegian, Swedish Lutheran churches up along Highway 32 that might seat 30 people on a good day.
Right.
If you pack them in there like a Tokyo subway. And 10
and
people would be...
Catholic churches, too.
Yeah, all over the place. You see them all over the place in outstate Minnesota. And they have the same capacity as Cathedral of St. Paul, capacity of 4,000, or Living Word Christian Center in Maple Grove, capacity, I don't know, 5,000 and maybe points north of there? All of them conceding 10 people? Okay, 25% capacity. Maybe you're sort of swerving towards reality there. But this is not science, folks. This is demanding acquiescence from troublesome provincials. I don't know if there's any other way to put it. I cannot say how shocked and surprised I am to see the Archdiocese of St. Paul actually standing up, or St. Paul, Minneapolis, the Twin Cities Catholic, or the Minnesota Catholics, standing up to the DFL. I was shocked when I heard the Archbishop, and please, don't get me wrong, hearing the Archbishop actually choose this as the ground beyond which the Twin Cities Catholics would not be pushed.
So let me tell you, let me add to that as well. Archbishop Bernard Hebda came to the priesthood a little later in life before he became
first.
A priest. He was a lawyer, which I think was by divine grace or whatever. When Archbishop Nienstedt left his post, and may I say that was, I think, a good thing. I think Pope Francis made, I think it was Pope Francis, made a wonderful move of having Archbishop Hebda come to Minnesota. He was actually lined up for a different archbishop diocese, I think, in New Jersey, and that he was heading that way. And this happened. And I am grateful for Archbishop Hebda's leadership. I think he has done everything he can to, and he said in his letter and the other bishops too, hey, we stopped services even before Governor Walz made it mandatory with his executive order. And we have been doing everything to be compliant with the law as it is in biblical principle. But at some point, you have to look at what the original goals were. And they listed those three goals, of flatten the curve, allow inventory to rise for PPE. And I forgot the third one. But he said, it sounds like those have been met. And so we have to minister to our congregations out there. And as a Catholic, my kids are also they're missing confirmation this summer. That was supposed to happen. That's been called off. And that is to be planned later. So I agree with you. I am thrilled that Archbishop Hebda, I think he waited as long as he could and then some, and did what he had to do as leader of the Catholics in Minnesota.
I don't disagree. And by the way, I've had about enough of people on social media saying, well, everything you can do in faith, you can do remotely. And by the way, if you're a Protestant Presbyterian like myself, you certainly can. We came out on the right side of the Reformation that way, Kelly. There's a little nudge there for you. You Catholics have it a little differently. You have some things that do have to be done in person, and you have a First Amendment right to absolutely make sure government doesn't go trampling all over that willy-nilly, which I think the governor's first declaration this past week was the very definition of William and Nillium. So, Kelly, thank you very much. Best of luck this week.
Hey,
keep us posted. Yes, we have about 40 seconds. Go right ahead.
40 seconds, really quick. This was an extremely reluctant announcement. You can see that from Governor Walz's presence. But also, he's really pushing back on this. He also praised Mayor Jacob Freiberg for requiring masks in Minnesota. It's still going on. I'm wondering if there's a reporter that's going to ask him about Dr. Osterholm and his recent saying masks don't really do anything. So
yes,
that's right.
Dr. Osterholm, the quote, the scientist, the legitimate, by the way, thank you very much for your call, Kelly. As always, stay healthy out there and good luck in your battles. But by the way, I think it's very interesting. Kelly knows how political communications works as well as anyone I know. And the fact that they're having this press conference on a Saturday afternoon makes it absolutely plain that they want to bury this news beneath the heaviest rock they can find. The fact that they have been dragged into at least some form of compromise by those unruly people of faith that so much of the DFL has contempt for, at least when they're not the tame variety that represented by the ELCA and Isaiah, the contempt they feel for Christians who haven't been brought to heel yet, is certainly has to be sticking in their craw. And the fact that Michael Osterholm, the epidemiologist whose work has driven so much of the state's policy so far, the fact that he has said, we'll have to talk about that after the break here, that the lockdown may have gotten to the point now where it is doing more harm than good. I can see why the governor and his administration are burying these announcements, not just on a Saturday, but a Saturday afternoon, where on Memorial Day weekend, where literally every person in Minnesota that can get away from a radio, from a TV, from a computer has done it. I mean, whatever race to the lakes that we're allowed to do in this state has happened, and people are probably listening to the media less today, the unofficial beginning of whatever passes for summer in Minnesota these days, than any other time in the year. It's the Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Join us at 651-289-4488, if you would, please, or at Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. Go Narn, be right back.
The world seems to change every day. While we've made many adjustments during this pandemic, we are still open for you. Shipping parts, repairing pressure washers, and doing proposals for new wash bays hasn't stopped. As your local family-owned source for pressure washers, we are here for you during these times. Visit us at AmericanPressure.com to find out more. That's AmericanPressure.com.
This is Nick Anderson, General Manager of Salem Media Group Twin Cities. During times of crisis, this radio station will continue to be a reliable source of news and information. We take this very seriously and ask that you continue to stand behind not only our station by listening every day, but by continuing to do business with our local marketing partners. It's because of their support that we can be a beacon of strength when our culture needs it the most. Visit this station's website to learn more or call us at 651-405-8800.
Relief Factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I've come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking Relief Factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable. To be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-218-9520. 800-218-9520. 800-218-9520. That's 800-218-9520.
AM 1280, The Patriot, the Northern Alliance Radio Network, 651-289-4488, the number to call, should you care to join us. And I'd love to have it have you pop on up here. By the way, we are available on Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. That's N-A-R-N Show, the official Twitter feed of the Northern Alliance. Both myself, Brad, and maybe even King Banya. I think he may use it once in a while. Great to have NASCAR Kelly here. She's always worth following on Twitter at Talkette. Apparently, she does a little talk radio here and there. And she has quite the fan club, and she brought it to Twitter. By the way, it was interesting. I got into another social media squabble with a person with impeccable progressive credentials who basically seized the mantle of spokesperson for all of Crystal in saying that people should stop bothering government. They're a little busy these days, to which I responded, yeah, let's take it easy on those poor, well-paid government officials and workers whose incomes aren't stopping while the private sector is getting squatted on here. And Mayor Jim Adams of Crystal popped up on the feed and said, yeah, the inconvenience, shaming, depression, anxiety, suicide, domestic abuses, bankruptcies, overdoses, deaths, abandonment, squatters, and many other unintended consequences of our government playing at business person and scientist and doing badly at both. Anyway, I have to say, I'm very happy to see that the churches, the Catholic Church and the Missouri Synod, two of the three or four most popular, powerful, organized bodies of Christians in the state of Minnesota, have stood up and gotten counted and gotten the Waltz administration to back off clearly as grudgingly as possible. I'm making an announcement like this on a Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. After 2 o'clock is a sign of Memorial Day weekend, is as clear and present a sign that they want this story to not get reported while people are actually paying attention as there is. Most of the Twin Cities media will, of course, perforce oblige the government on this. That's why they put it at this time of day. Most of the reporters are off at the lake right now or furloughed. Anyway, so... And it was, they had to negotiate this. I mean, it's so absurd. It was such a clear violation of the First Amendment that the lawsuits were just waiting to line up. I mean, when you have a tiny little Swedish Lutheran church or a UCC church in, I don't know, in Hitterdal, Minnesota, that seats maybe 30 or 40 on a good day, with the same limit that Living Word Christian Church in Living Word Christian Center in Maple Grove or Grace Church in Eden Prairie have, which seat thousands of people, or the Cathedral of St. Paul with 4,000 people and going through more than one service on a normal Sunday, all limited to 10 attendees. I mean, Keith Ellison's efforts notwithstanding, that's basically pinning a big sue me banner on the entire Waltz administration. And you know, they might have a shot. There's no science behind this, concluding that 50 people can gather on a restaurant patio of any size, any restaurant patio, if you have a patio. But the same limit holds for churches that seat 50 or 5,000. It's almost like Minnesota's ongoing response to COVID has become just so reflexively, unscientifically, sclerotically bureaucratic, even the elite media is starting to take notice. The Wall Street Journal trashed Governor Waltz this past week. Trashed them. I posted a link to that Wall Street Journal article and a piece entitled Idle Question for Governor Waltz this past week at shotinthedark.info. I urge you to check it out. Read the Wall Street Journal. It was savage. When you start losing the Wall Street Journal, which has a reputation of being right of center, but largely really isn't anymore, when you've lost the Journal, you've lost. And frankly, I never thought I'd see the Twin Cities, as I pointed out with NASCAR Kelly during our last conversation, I never thought I'd see the Catholic Church acting up against big government. I mean, the current Pope certainly has, let's just say, some synchronicity with big government in his approach to economics. I mean, the Missouri Synod, yeah, absolutely. Twin Cities Catholics, well, I'll just say Archbishop Hebda has given us a certain amount of hope, and I'm happy to admit I got it wrong. Minnesota's collection of bishops, by the way, joined in with the Archbishop and the Missouri Synod to defy the governor's absurd 10 people in a church order, and that's what's led us to this news conference today. Grudging and embarrassed as it is, and as much as he is hedging, the governor, I should say, hedging by praising Mayor Trudeau of Minneapolis, I'm sorry, Mayor Fry of Minneapolis, hard to tell the difference between the two sometimes, praising his absurd demand that all Minnesotans over the age of two wear masks full time while in any public accommodation, that is to say, any bar, restaurant, store of any kind. If you're above the age of two, you got to be in a mask. Anyway, those of us who favor a safe, sane, science-driven reopening of the economy get frequently derided by the left, by the shutdown until whenever crowd, wherever means after some miracle happens, basically, as either callous or ignorant. But you look at examples of states that have managed to combine generally good public health outcomes with relatively sane courses on economic reopening. You see two patterns emerging. The first pattern is this. Those paths, that tend to be steered by governors with experience in the private sector, people like Kristi Noem of South Dakota or Doug Burgum of North Dakota, who's married to my high school classmate, just dropping a name, that's all, and especially Ron DeSantis of Florida, treat science as a way of finding the truth as opposed to being a tool to coerce compliance from the peasantry. The second path, the success tends to follow a parade of calumny in the blue media, followed by the media moving on to another story when none of the other predictions pans out. That's how the media tends to react. The response to Governor DeSantis of Florida's plans early in the epidemic, by the way, when the sky was going to fall, because look at all those people out on Florida's beaches, that the governor did not dispatch the state patrol or the National Guard to clear with maximum force if necessary. And now, when the sky did not fall, and by the way, there was no outbreak whatsoever associated with the crowds on the beaches. By the way, last thing I expected, to be honest. Well, the National Review reported on this past week, irony of the national coverage of the coronavirus crisis. At the same time Governor DeSantis was being made into a villain, New York Governor Fredo Cuomo was being elevated as a hero, even though the DeSantis approach to nursing homes was obviously superior to that of Cuomo. And by the way, waltz. Florida went out of its way to get COVID-19 positive people out of nursing homes, while New York went out of its way to get them in. Like Governor Waltz, a policy now widely acknowledged to have been a debacle. That's a French word for disaster. The media didn't exactly have their eyes on the ball. Quote, the day that the media had their first big freakout over Florida was March 15th, said Governor DeSantis in an interview with the National Review this past week. Quote, which was, there were people on Clearwater Beach, and this was this big deal. End quote. That same day was when they signed the executive order to, one, ban visitation in nursing homes, and two, ban the reintroduction of a COVID-positive patient back into any nursing home. DeSantis is bemused by the obsession with Florida's beaches. When they opened in Jacksonville, it was a big national story, usually relayed with a dire tone. Quote, Jacksonville has almost no COVID activity outside of a nursing home, he says. Their hospitalization rates are down, ICU down since the beaches opened a month ago, and yet nobody talks about it. It's just like, okay, we have to move on to the next target. Perhaps more understandably, the Villages, the iconic senior community, was a focus of media worries. According to DeSantis, as of last weekend, there hadn't been a single resident of the Villages in the hospital for COVID-19 for over a week. At one point, the infection rate in the Villages was so low that state officials were worried they were missing something. So they got the University of Florida to do a study. They did 1,200 tests of asymptomatic seniors. Not one was positive. This is at Florida. This is in Florida. There's one of the states, along with Mississippi, that is also kicking us in all respects of dealing with COVID. This is Florida, one of those states that Minnesota progressives love to sniff down their nose at for being backward. Well, who's sniffing now? Let's go to the phones in Shoreview. Bob, welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network. You are live and on the air. You got about a minute. Go right ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to start out by saying that it's a good thing Jesus isn't starting his ministry on earth today, because we'd only have 10 apostles instead of 12.
okay, good one.
But that Cuomo, he said you know, I had to put these people, sick people in nursing homes because of the directives of the CDC and President Trump. That's not true, and that's proven by DeSantis and what he did. You know, it's an obvious lie, what Cuomo said. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, and that's all you need. It's exactly right. They are lying to you. And it's proven by what DeSantis did. It's proven by what the governor of Texas did. It's proven, by the way, by what the governors of North and South Dakota did. Because while the lefty media is, and a whole lot of progressives keep chanting away, it's all coming. Yeah, red states are going to get completely clobbered when this thing escapes, gets outside the metro areas. Still waiting. And those governors all did the smart thing. All of them, from DeSantis all the way down to Doug Burgum. They shut down the nursing homes. No visiting unless someone's actively dying, which happened with my mother's situation. Her husband was dying. That's what let one visitor in. And he was stuck in there for the duration. He finally left. Anyway, long story. 651-289-4488, the number to call. Let's talk a little more science when we come back. It's the Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. 651-289-4488 or hashtag NARN Show. Go nowhere. Yeah, I'll be right back.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Do you want to get rid of your expensive landline, save money, but keep your important home telephone number? Then OurOldNumber.com has the perfect solution. OurOldNumber.com allows you to keep your home phone number and cancel that expensive landline connection. With OurOldNumber.com, calls from family and friends to your home phone number are answered by a personal greeting from you. The caller selects which family member they want to reach, and the call is immediately forwarded to that family member's cell phone. Your important home phone number is still your number. It's still in directory assistance, and no matter where you happen to be, you'll never miss a call. There's no equipment to buy, there's nothing to install, there are no long-term contracts, and it's only $9.99 per month. Best of all, OurOldNumber.com eliminates those annoying sales calls. Now, your home telephone number can be as mobile as you and your family are with OurOldNumber.com. Visit OurOldNumber.com to learn more and get started today. OurOldNumber.com.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Hear the top voices in conservative radio on your Amazon smart speaker.
Now streaming AM 1280 The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
Just ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis. That's play The Patriot Minneapolis.
Let's welcome Jeremy Camp.
Hope comes home with I Still Believe. You can download it now at WatchSalemMedia.com. From the creators of I Can Only Imagine comes the uplifting true life story of Christian music megastar Jeremy Camp.
I'm supposed to be with her. I can't explain it. I just know that.
Jeremy's hope and faith are put to the test when tragedy strikes.
You're going to be healed.
What if I'm not supposed to be healed?
Don't say that.
I Still Believe is an incredible story of musical stardom, the heights of love, the depths of loss, and the healing power of the human spirit. One love can change your life.
You chose willingly to walk into the fire with her. That's what love is.
Witness the true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that looks to prove there is always hope. Starring KJ Apa, Britt Robertson, Gary Sinise, and Shania Twain. Own I Still Believe on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital now from Lionsgate at WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
Whoa, look at all these options.
You can fill an entire warehouse with all the different ways you can stream The Patriot. Top shelf choices include AM1280ThePatriot.com, our free app, and Radio.com.
And I left my mic switch turned off because I had it turned off so I could talk. Anyway, we're back. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Direct quote from Governor Waltz's press conference, quote, "To be candid, the 250 number terrifies me." That's Governor Waltz. "It'd be nice if we had an institution in the Twin Cities, perhaps, I don't know, people with transmitters and printing presses that had people who saw themselves as people who had a monastic mission almost to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable," who would ask the question, why, Governor Waltz? Why? If 250 people in a church that seats 50 is a problem, stipulated. 250 people in a church that seats 5,000, nothing. Nothing. Even if you wanted to limit them to 10% capacity, which, by the way, they could very well do on their own, that'd be 500 people. They'd be farther apart than people at any Walmart or Menards or Cub Foods in the Twin Cities are today. You don't believe me? Go to a big box store in the Twin Cities. If 250 people in the Cathedral of St. Paul, which is, by the way, 1/16 of capacity, if that terrifies you, then for God's sake, Governor Waltz, stay out of a big box store. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. The time has come, I believe, and I'm thankful that Archbishop Hebda has led the way on this so far. I think the time has come for selective, enlightened, intelligent civil disobedience to this arbitrary, unscientific, really unscientific rule by decree that we have here. The left likes to tell people on the right that they are the unscientific ones because we have a tendency to have faith in something that modern science can't and probably never will explain. And yet they are the ones who cling bitterly to not science, nothing like science, but this sort of perverted, Lysenkoistic, I love that term, the science being brought to heel to log roll people into acquiescence. They wrap themselves in that unquestioningly. And in a state with a functional media, it wouldn't last long, but we don't have that. By the way, I pointed out with a little bit of mildly tart surprise last month that California, this was last month, maybe back in March even, that California, after voting in lockstep with the statist agenda for 30 years now, has rediscovered the virtues of federalism via the current public health crisis. And to progressives, at least, the greater crisis of Hillary Clinton, the smartest woman in history, losing the election. I was being a little sarcastic, but a fellow named Jose Nino at the Mises Institute points out, after quite a few politicians romping and playing in power like Scrooge McDuck taking a bath in his coin vault in a bath of quarters, he writes, quote, "Amusingly," by the way, Jose Nino is a Venezuelan writer who writes for the libertarian Mises Institute. "Amusingly, the COVID-19 saga has been host to some of the most flagrant political posturing in recent memory. Early in March, which feels like eons ago in today's media cycle, New York Mayor Ratso de Blasio was telling people to go to the movies and have fun. In fact, telling them that they were racists if they didn't. Now, he's done a 180, shutting down most private businesses, and even calling for the nationwide nationalization of certain industries and begging the federal government for military aid to combat the epidemics." There's some object lessons, by the way, that we've learned on the value of federalism and coming out of this crisis. First of all, stop electing progressives, because the difference between a progressive and, as we just saw, a military dictator is motivation. Anyway, back to Jose Nino, quote, "We're indeed living in the strangest of times when LA Times columnists are expressing sentiments that better belong in a passage of Human Action," which is a very libertarian publication. "The jury's still out on whether this is merely oppositional posturing from the left, but any kind of conversation about the restoration of federalism is a welcome surprise." And by the way, this is true. When you remember back to before the epidemic, the idea that one would refer to the constitutional guarantee that we're a federalist system, not a centralized federal authority that dictates policy to the states, but one where states and the federal government, and for that matter, local county governments and the rights of the people are carefully balanced against each other. What was the first thing any progressive would tell you? Huh, you support the 10th Amendment. You must love slavery. You remember this, don't you? I certainly do. And you'd think that when Donald Trump defeated the smartest woman in history, that the left would have learned its lesson. That, in fact, you don't want to pile all of the power into the central government. But they didn't. No, they haven't changed their minds until today, when the likes of Gavin Newsom have suddenly discovered, had their road to Damascus moment about the value of not concentrating all power centrally. This is back to Jose Nino. Elected officials like State Representative Matt Gertler in Georgia have raised the stakes by floating a proposal that would allow law-abiding Georgians to carry concealed anywhere. Kristi Noem projected a stark contrast in her relatively lax approach to handling the pandemic. By the way, with results that are the envy of any progressive nationwide who isn't completely debilitated by agenda. I like to use the example. After Hurricane Katrina, gun rights groups noticed the speed at which Louisiana and New Orleans' layers of incompetent Democrats turned to confiscating the firearms of law-abiding citizens, which they did. In 2015, Minnesota gun rights groups, by the way, pushed a law in Minnesota barring the state from confiscating guns from law-abiding citizens under states of emergency, or for shutting down gun stores, for that matter, at least before every other store in the state was closed. The bills passed, by the way, with bipartisan majorities in both chambers that were powerful enough so that even Governor Dayton and his handlers said, yeah, better sign this one. You're going to be picking a fight you can't win. I mean, the bipartisan majority, even of enough DFLers joined the GOP with that to make it impossible for them to resist. We, that's to say the good guys, need to do that with every other civil right that has been vanquished in this crisis. Whatever the right is, the right of the governor to pervert science to his agenda, the right to squash private sectors' livings while keeping the government fat and happy. All of us need to change that behavior on the part of government, and that change starts this fall by throwing anti-science, pro-dictatorship candidates out of office. If there isn't a red wave in this state, we will deserve what happens to us. And that starts with you and I. Thanks for tuning in. Happy Memorial Day. God bless you all. God bless America.
This is Al Malmberg. This Sunday morning on the World of Aviation, we'll visit with Nick Trzynski, who, along with his wife Megan, own Pat O'Malley's Jet Room Restaurant at the Madison, Wisconsin Airport. The Jet Room has been around since the mid-70s and is a very popular restaurant and is a favorite of general aviation pilots in search of the, quote, $200 breakfast. Like other businesses across the country, the Jet Room had to close its doors because of COVID-19, but they'll be reopening soon. Join us Sunday morning at 10:05 right here on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Where do you go for the latest news and insight into what's happening in Minnesota policy and politics? Americans for Prosperity Radio. Join host Jason Flores for conversation about the issues that matter most and to get the knowledge you need to make a difference. From City Hall to the State Capitol to the halls of Congress, we're pulling back the curtain and giving you an inside perspective on the economy, healthcare, education, and more.
Americans for Prosperity, Saturdays at 4 p.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
As an essential business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here for your HVAC needs with no-contact protocols to help keep you, your family, and their technicians safe. They also have some great deals to take advantage of before summer gets here. During May, you can save $1,900 or more on a new furnace and air conditioner and have payments as low as $83 a month. Ask about their 0% financing, too. Not to mention a new high-efficiency heating and cooling system can help you save on utility bills for years to come. It's no wonder over 500,000 Minnesotans have trusted the experience and expertise of Standard Heating for 90 years. And they're still a family-owned and operated business right here in the Twin Cities. Discover how you can enjoy savings of $1,900 or more on a new furnace and air conditioner and payments as low as $83 a month or 0% financing at standardheating.com/patriot. Summer is coming, so don't wait too long. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
When you go to the mechanic in here...
Pass me the torque wrench. Nope, let me have the flamethrower.
That sounds wrong. You know what else sounds wrong? When you hear about the interest you're earning on your savings with the largest banks. But with a Marcus by Goldman Sachs online savings account, you could earn much more interest. And hear this. Open a Marcus by Goldman Sachs online savings account in minutes at marcus.com. You can money.
Comparison made to the three largest U.S. banks measured by total deposits. Rates as of February 4th, 2020 and may vary by state. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
Imagine sharing a prayer request from your phone and seeing as those around the world take your request before God. The new Pray With Me prayer app will connect you with other Christians worldwide who have experienced the power of prayer and know the encouragement it can provide. Visit praywithme.com to discover how your faith can grow when we pray without ceasing. Receive prayer. Pray for others.